Perhaps the most controversial topic of discussion in our day revolves around truth. Opinions often blur the lines of an objective truth. Streaming platforms, social media, and other public forums allow individuals to project their truths upon the masses like never before.
In the midst of woke, cancel culture, religious freedoms, political liberties, and social injustice, we attempt to search for and reveal the truth. This is Truth Revival.
So you guys ready?
Let's do it, Roman. I'm excited now. We're hooked up. Let's go.
All right. Well, welcome back to another episode of Truth Revival. This is Roman Hamilton. With me, we got Mr. Nationwide, as always, Paul Chapman. Paul, tell everybody where we're at.
Hey, we're at the Candlelight Walk and the Living Nativity down here at the museum in beautiful downtown Teleco Plains. It's been raining, but the Lord held the rain
Hallelujah.
Off. It's quit a little bit. We're good to go, and we're live here. We've got the sheep and the nativity scene here. We've got Jesus on the cross across the bridge, and we've got the founder of this thing, the one the Lord has used to bring this to our town, and this thing has become an epic event here. People look forward to it. People come from miles around, and the Lord has anointed him for this task.
Amen.
And the one and only Chris Maney, he was on the show a couple of weeks ago. But, hey, we're here live, and the Lord, hey, it's rained all day. The devil tried to dump a bucket of water on this thing.
We did.
And, but, hey, we're here now. People are coming through. People are getting Bibles. They're hearing about Jesus, and that's what this is all about, right?
Oh, it's awesome. It's started raining at 8:30 this morning, and all these guys is calling in and saying, we're coming, you know.
Yeah.
We're coming. We're setting up. No matter what it does, we're going to set up, and it's just amazing. It, What a spiritual battle I went through.
Oh, I can
imagine.
And
I do every year at this time.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's
yeah.
a crazy battle. You know, boys that are close to me know.
Yeah.
But this year was really, really tough. And it's just the devil does not like this at all. But I'm very thankful. A lot of good things happened this year. And church is coming out wanting to be a part of it, wanting to make their piece of it their own.
Right.
You know, empty tomb. Unicorn, we wanted to make it their own.
Yeah,
they wasn't just good. That wasn't good enough for them. They wanted more, so they got, you know, homemade cookies.
The cookie tent, and I'm trying to be good and stay away from there, but hey, I wanted the whole bag.
I'm telling you, Cancrete brought. I don't know how many people Cancrete brought.
Listen, I got my picture made with my cousin Ronnie Lynn tonight, and he was in a shepherd outfit.
That's great.
I'm going to hang that on my wall.
That's great.
I've been involved with this a few times now, and one year I came, it was freezing. I mean, it was cold. But there's a couple new aspects that you have this year that are really, really cool. You've got in the tent to the left of us here behind Roman, they're telling the Bible story, the Christmas story there with finger puppets.
Oh, yeah.
And once they hear the finger puppet story, you've got action Bibles. And these new Bibles, Roman, you got to check this out. You're gonna geek out over this thing,
oh,
man.
Yeah, he loves it.
It's got, you download the app and you scan the page and it gives you all the references, devotions, stories, and kid stories out of this Bible that he's bought, this filament Bible. It's unbelievable.
Okay.
What this thing does. Darby, everybody knows Darby Fraze. Praise God, he's a local hero.
Yeah.
Jesus got a hold of him. But anyway, he showed me how this thing, he actually downloaded it on his phone and showed me how it works. And I was like, man, wow, this is insane. It's crazy. But I don't want to leave you here silent anymore. So we've got another guest here with us. She works out at the gym every morning, and she's a faithful listener. Will you please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to listen to Truth Revival and what it's done for you?
My name is Kelsey Jones, and I started listening to Truth Revival probably about 6 months ago. I was riding in the car with Kent and his mom and his family, and Tiffany had it on the radio. And so then after that, I just started listening to it and started from first episode and just listened to it ever since.
Awesome. We appreciate that. That's awesome.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
It's Kelsey?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Kelsey, what a pleasure. We're so glad that you're here and you're supporting Truth Revival. Before we go any further, Paul, you said that this is the man in charge, right?
Yeah.
I need you to get a hold of Mike Grant. I need one of them hot chocolates.
All right, I got you. I can get it.
Brian Cruz is going to take care of
you. Make that too.
She might want one.
The best hot chocolate.
Okay. She's good. Hey, I want one of them chocolate spoons, bro. Don't go with that. You want a peppermint spoon?
No. I just give it to me chocolatey, however that comes, you know.
Yeah.
But, we got a great little thing going on down here. Mike always has the best hot chocolate that there is.
But Chris, so we tell everybody what we've got going on down here. It's just in the nativity, or are you kind of walking through the life of Christ?
Yeah, from the birth. You know, we got a little town of Bethlehem set up with a few new buildings and some village people with their goats and their sheep. Then the Bethlehem scene, and then right behind that, across the creek over there, you got Mount Calvary and the boys with the Roman soldiers and Jesus on the cross. I mean, it's as real as, you know, it's breathtaking to see those guys over there. I mean, it's really breathtaking.
And each church has taken, I guess, charge of a scene.
Yeah, that's been the whole goal.
Give a shout out to a couple of them churches that are.
Well, I know Long Ridge, they're right there with the campfire tent, and they got a little campfire going, telling the Bible story. Snake, my partner Snake, that mm-hmm. The Lord brought back in 3 years ago. He's been all over Monroe County. A lot of people know him. And he's in there with Darby, teamed up with Darby. I said, two felons and Andy Nichols. That ain't bad. Giving away Bibles. So, you know, yeah. They love the Lord, and it's amazing to see the Lord use them. So we got Unicoi with the cookies and New Providence. Isabel, Miller's Chapel, you guys, Popper Bluff, many churches. I really don't know who all's here. I don't want to leave nobody out, because this is, you know, 9 years ago when I started this, it started at New Providence. But after the first year, we really seen that it was a community-wide nativity, because there was as many from the outside coming to our property to work on this as they were from our church. And we realized it. And then when we moved down here 4 years ago, we moved here because of construction. But it's really God-sent because of just the way this place is laid out. Charles Hall, his vision was amazing. And his love for this town was amazing. But the way he laid this out, And it's came true. The fall festival, not only, you know, campfire and the things we've got to do down here, but this nativity, it was really, I feel like it's meant to be here, because a lot of it's worked really easy, you know. And it's really good. It's kind of neutral ground. All the churches can come right here. Yeah. It's common ground.
Amen.
And so very thankful.
The body working together, man.
It's amazing.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
It's amazing. Yeah. Building bridges of unity.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What church are you with? Cane Creek?
Cane Creek.
And what scene did you guys have? What were you doing today?
I was a townsperson. And then we had the three wise men.
Too. Awesome. Yeah, Kent was in on that, right? Yeah. Kent Wiseman?
Yep. He
was
a wise man.
I get it, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I've known Kent since he was a little man. It's crazy. He's a man now, you know. It's like, dang, dude. So, but, yeah, it's been good. So, do you have any other plans? I don't want to be a spoiler.
Right.
But we were talking earlier today, this evening, when it was a gushing rain and everything was going on, about maybe doing this again for a Good Friday at Easter.
Yeah, I would love to come up here on Good Friday, you know, with all the churches, and this whole thing be narrated.
Yeah.
You know, we just set the scene, and people bring chairs up here right in this parking lot, and maybe find a good narrator, and just tell the story.
That'd be awesome. Yeah,
it's
good. I know a guy with a good radio voice.
Yeah,
I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think it's awesome, though, that we're here right now. You know, First John or John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it goes on down, it says, by what he did, it gave us the power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. See, the Lord heard us. We're talking about the Word, and he's coming down, man. So, but he gave us the power to become the sons of God.
Yeah.
And this story here, you know, the Word became flesh.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the beginning of how the Word became flesh.
Oh, that's amazing.
And how this thing, it, you know, came to fruition. And gave us the opportunity to become the sons of God. So it's humbling, and it's amazing every year to come here to see this, whether it's raining, whether it's freezing cold. I mean, it feels pretty good temperature-wise right now.
Right now
it's
nice.
Yeah, it feels good. But it's awesome to see this and just to think back about this is how it all began. This scene here is what gave me the opportunity to have life and have life to the full. This scene here is what gave me the opportunity to walk in victory. To know that I'm a child of the King and that he's got my back, no matter if it's good, bad, ugly, hard, easy, whatever, that I know that I'm his and he's mine. Hallelujah. I'm about to get shot.
I hear you.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. So what do you do?
For work?
Yeah, work, school. What do you do?
I'm a physical therapist assistant with Benchmark Physical Therapy.
Sweet. So do you work here in Telecom?
I work in Madisonville.
Madisonville? Yeah. Awesome. Are they singing over there?
No, I mean, that's just, it's live, baby. We're downtown.
Oh, yeah, it is live.
So.
Hey, listen, I'm telling you right now, you can hear the crowds picking up in the background. The bustle's coming.
I know. This is great. Well, Kelsey, you got anything else you want to say for our Truth Revival, to our Truth Revival listeners?
Well, I'm just thankful to be here, and thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks, all Kelsey. Right. Appreciate you.
Thank
well,
you.
We're going to tag you out. Do you know Cody Baxter? He's that gentleman right over there. I don't know if he's wearing camouflage or not. Go ask for Cody Baxter. But yeah, we're going to try to get several of these ministers and men and women of God.
I saw Brad Abernathy somewhere.
Brad Abernathy, we need to get Snake over here. We need to get Darby over here. Come on over here, Cody. We got a spot for you. It's you, the most manly mic we could find for you.
The pink one.
The pink one.
Thanks, God. Sorry, Cody. That wasn't done intentionally, I promise you.
That's fine.
So, brother, tell us what your church has got going on over here. It looks like you got some cookies.
Yeah, we, Brother Chris, he asked us to do some cookies. So we made some cookies and just handed them out.
What a blessing, you know, just to be able to give.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Yeah.
It's a giving time of year.
With no expectation of a return, showing people love. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That's it. The Bible says it's better given than it is to receive.
Amen. That's it, boy. It's, it's good.
So, Cody, who you got over there with you? It looks like you got your youth pastor over there.
We got our youth pastor. We got some of our youth, several of our members of our church, a bunch of the ladies that made the cookies.
That pile of cookies just went down. It was way bigger when I first got here.
It was. They're going pretty quick.
Yeah, it was way bigger.
Now, are you guys doing a scene, or you just got the cookies going on over here?
Well, Brother Chris has asked us to do the tomb scene. The three girls that was going to do the angels, they begged me not to dress up in the rain. So.
Hey, I'm good with that. I told my wife earlier, I wouldn't expect nobody to sit there. You know, I don't sit in ball games in that kind of mess. I don't hunt in that kind of mess.
But it was amazing to see, though. I mean, during the rain, I mean, they still people standing
they
there
were.
Singing.
They were.
I mean,
and people coming out in the rain.
Yeah, it's amazing. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's always tough, you know, when you're dealing with something like this in the rain. You can't predict the weather.
No.
None of us can. But, you know, the Bible talks about the signs of the times. We can often look and see if there is going to be bad weather, right? You can look at the clouds. Mm-hmm. Well, we ought to be able to look at the signs of time to know that the Son of Man is about to return.
Yeah.
Boys, I believe that we're drawing near to the return of the Lord. But Jesus told his disciples, he said, in like manner, as you see me go away, you'll see me come again. They expected to see Christ return in their lifetime.
Right.
And, of course, you know, we're still here. But I want to be found faithful until he comes.
Yeah.
And partnering with you men is a blessing because, you know, if you're in the ministry for any length of time, you know that it just feels lonely sometimes.
Yeah.
You guys ever been there?
Oh, yesterday.
Absolutely.
Yesterday.
Probably today, too. Yeah. With all, you
know, yesterday was really bad. It was like I was on an island.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It was tough.
But the enemy attacks us all in that way. But then when you see other men that are carrying the cross and following after the Lord, it gives you encouragement.
Oh, I'm telling you.
It inspires you. And, you know, the Bible says, be not weary in well doing.
Yeah.
You will reap in due season if
faint not.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. And there's times that I get a little low, boys. I get a little discouraged. My flame starts to flicker, and I just need somebody to come alongside me and fan the flame.
That's it.
You know?
It does me good, though. I mean, you'll never know what you mean to me. I didn't know for a long time we're kin.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, we're kin, and our ancestors have served God a long time.
Yeah.
We come from a long line of believers, man. God put his hand on our bloodline, I promise you that. And when I see you, the heart that God's give you, the energy that he gives you, I mean, we're not spring chickens anymore.
No.
Let's just be honest. You know, we're the oldest two at the table here, praise God.
Easy.
But anyway, he gives you the wind in your sails, you know, to work and to endure and to just go on. And it all just falls together. But that, seeing brothers like that, man, it puts wind under your sails to get up every Sunday to preach the gospel because it ain't easy to get in the word all the time and to study and to be in your right mind. You got the world attacking, you got people attacking. All these things come into, like the weather, it all comes into effect, but you still slide it out, step through the door, and stand up there behind the desk, and you proclaim the word of God every week. and you do what God's called you to do every week.
Yeah.
To lead up to this and to do your campfire ministries and place the Bibles. And it's just amazing how God will give you people that you can watch their life and it'll fully energize you. It's like his cell phone being plugged into the wall.
Yeah.
When I see what God does in your life, it plugs me into the wall and I'm ready to go.
That's it.
So, hey, man, praise God for the body of believers and the brothers, man.
It amazes me as far as Brother Chris. I mean, he is, I'm sure he wouldn't want me saying this, but he is just one of those. I mean, that is a true server. I wish I had a church full of Chris Manis.
Amen to that. Yeah.
He might not.
I mean, yesterday when he called me, I mean, you could just hear him just down. But, hey, we came out this morning. They put the tents up. I mean, here we are.
Yeah. Well, hey, I tell you what, when you're down like that, God will always send a man with a cell phone to give you a call.
Yeah.
And say, let's get in a fight. And your call was right on time. And it gave me the energy to and the want to, because I'm going to tell you right now, you're working for the Lord. Sometimes you'll feel like you might be a little isolated.
Yeah.
And he's always got your back, and he's always willing to send one of your brothers in to say, let's get this.
Yeah.
And there's so many guys, though, that I'm just a dreamer. I'm a dreamer. I'm a dreamer, but I got you guys, you know, right by my side. Mike Grant, Randy Schell, Brian Cruz, them boys have always... You know, if I got a crazy dream, they'll say, let's go for this.
Let's do it.
You know, and love it.
It's a blessing to see the other churches, too. I mean,
yes,
everybody's come together. Unity, that's what God wants.
Yeah. I mean, there's at least 10 different churches here, man.
It's crazy.
I've seen pastors from all over the county here, and it's awesome. And the thing about it, I don't really know a lot of them, but I'm getting to know a lot of them now, you know. And it's just beautiful, man, to see what God's doing.
Well, Cody, you were saying earlier, you know, if you had a church full of Chris Manis, you know, Chris is a worker.
Yes.
He is a worker. And in Nehemiah chapter number 4, verse number 6, it says that the people had a mind to work.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people that are busybodies.
Yeah.
And they're always concerned about what's going on in other people's lives. That's not what we need to do as born-again believers. We need to fix our eyes on Christ and work to build the kingdom. So for all of our listeners out there, where do you fit in to the body of Christ? What's your spiritual gift? What's your talent? What are you? How is God using you to build his kingdom? And as these guys can attest, sometimes it gets a little discouraging. But, man, the best thing is when you see what God is able to do through you. That's the most amazing thing, when God is able to use you and God is able to work through you so that he can get all the glory.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, we're going to tag you out.
All right, brother.
There may be somebody else that you can send over this way. Maybe you can send Snake or Darby.
Okay, that sounds good.
Go find one of these other guys, because we're going to pause right now and let Cody monologue. I know he's got something brother. That he really wants to say over here.
Hey, I appreciate y'all having me. And shout out to Pam Matthews and Charles Hall Museum for allowing us to come down.
Amen.
Yes. But,
thank you, guys.
So, thank you, man. Appreciate you. Love you, brother.
Just take it away, Cody, whenever you're ready.
No, sir. I'll leave the radio up to you.
I was talking to Gib Harris's wife.
Jennifer. A worker.
She's another worker. Yeah, great family. She said you name dropped me the other day in a sermon.
I did. I talk about you quite often.
It probably... Don't be like Roman. Don't do this.
No.
An example of what not to be.
No, it's always good.
Well, Paul, for all of our listeners, we are literally outside right now, and it was coming a deluge.
It was earlier. I thought Noah was coming to visit for a minute. Yeah, it was crazy. There's Snake.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, there's the man. But you got our canopy up.
Yep.
And it's not dripping on us too bad.
No, thank God. I was worried for a minute, you know. I'm talking to that
man. Yeah, so we've got gentlemen with us now, and all I know him as is Snake.
Yeah.
So, brother, would you introduce yourself to our listeners?
My name is Mike Brewer.
Mike Brewer?
Yes, sir.
So, where did you get that name Snake from?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know. It just happened years ago, and it stuck.
So workers or
workers,
friends?
Yeah. I'm a super nice guy. I don't know how I got it. Honestly.
Okay.
Honestly.
All right. Snake, tell us how your path crossed with Chris Maney.
Okay. I worked at Mastercraft Boats for a lot of years, and I've been into the welding shop. And I met Maney We got along real well, become pretty good friends. And we weld side by side to this day. He's a super guy.
So you met Chris in the welding shop, and how many years did you guys work together?
Four
years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you met Chris, was you a believer in Christ?
I was an alcoholic also, though. I was out of the will of God and having a really hard time with it. Couldn't change it on my own, man.
Well, would you just share your testimony with with our listeners? I know I've heard it, Paul. You've heard it. You got to hear Snake's testimony,
I have heard
Cody?
It, yes.
I sure will.
You know, just an abbreviated version. But
Okay. I'm not a good speaker, but here we go. I was out of the will of the Lord. I was you give the devil an inch, man, he'll take you 100 miles, and that's what he done with me. I got with the wrong crowd, got to drinking. Always good to my family. You know, don't get me wrong, I worked every day, but I was an alcoholic, and I was a sinner, and God whipped me for it. I was in and out of jail, and I couldn't fix myself. And I wouldn't go to church but Christmas. You know, that's the only time I wanted to go to church to see my grandkids, whatever. You know, and, just had a big problem with alcohol. It's something that I could not fix, and I would pray, but I was out of the will of God. You made on God's terms.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we have to understand. Well, getting back to me and Chris. Chris and these action Bibles have been going on for a little while, and he wanted to give me one, which I was fine with that. He snuck it into my truck one day at work. It was a bad day for him. He didn't want to give it to me because he was afraid that it would offend me. What he didn't know is I'm well-versed on the Bible. I've read the Bible my whole life. I was just out of the will of God, and I was a drunk. And I liked it just fine, took it home, and gave it to my granddaughter. Thanksgiving morning 3 years ago, my granddaughter was sitting on the couch, and she pulls out the action Bible. And starts reading it out of the book of Job about this just man that had everything taken away from him. And I sat there and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm blessed, you know. And as this little girl's reading this little action Bible to me, the Lord moved in my heart and moved in a way like a freight train running through my chest, you know. And I had to get alone and do a little praying. And I come humble before God and I said, take it. And from that moment, I don't even know what alcohol is, man.
Hallelujah.
I don't even know what it is. All the praise goes to God. I couldn't do it on my own.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Mm-hmm.
I haven't so much as craved. I didn't have a bit of detox. I despise it. I had no use for it, and I've lived for God since then the best I can. I'm a simple man. Don't get me wrong. Nobody's, you know. But alcohol's not a problem anymore. I'll just say that.
Hey, man. You know, I've heard so many stories of people just getting delivered.
Yeah.
Set free.
You don't understand. It's a miracle.
Miracle?
It's a miracle in my life. You don't know how many nights I cried. How many nights me and my wife separated. My daughter seen me drunk, you know? It's a miracle that, I mean, people can understand, but nobody can really understand me and Jesus because he done this for me.
Yeah, it's
through
personal.
Through one humble prayer. Yeah. One humble prayer, man. That's all he wanted. He wanted to meet on his terms where I was too proud. Pride's a horrible thing, but let me tell you, brother, God can do anything, anything. And he showed me in no short terms, it's mine. Let me have it.
Amen.
And it's out there somewhere. I don't know where it's at. But the alcohol is, I'm not a recovering alcoholic. I'm done with it.
Delivered.
Delivered.
I'm set
delivered.
Free, boy.
I'll say delivered, yeah. Set free. I'm not a recovering nothing. I'm done.
Amen.
You
know?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I think that's a big thing, you know, and people don't understand when God does it, he does it.
When God does it,
he does it.
He leaves
man.
Nothing unturned.
Golly, bum,
when God
so
does
good.
It, he takes it to the uttermost.
It is finished.
It's not
Hallelujah.
Like I woke up the next morning and think, oh, I'm needing a drink. You know, I'm detoxing. It's like, I don't even know where it's at. I don't know it ever existed.
Yeah.
It don't exist to me.
Praise God.
And that sounds silly.
Praise God.
That sounds silly. Amen. That
Washed
sounds silly.
By the blood.
But it don't exist to me, man.
Amen.
Jesus took it, just like when he saved my soul when I was 12 years old. He saved me to the uttermost. It was my choice to step out into this world and do what I've done. But when he took it, how can I say it any better than he took it?
Amen.
And it's gone forever. And as far as I'm concerned, it'll stay gone.
It's like that woman who was caught in the very act of adultery.
Yeah, yeah.
And by law, she was to be stoned.
To be stoned.
Yeah.
And they got Jesus involved. Jesus began to write in the sand. Y'all know the story. And one by one, those guys began to drop those stones.
Yeah.
And ye without sin cast the first stone.
Cast the first stone, absolutely.
And he looks around and he says, woman, where are thine accusers?
Yeah.
She said, Lord, there are none.
Neither do I accuse you. Yeah.
Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
That's exactly right.
Hallelujah. And now, I don't think that that means that she'd ever made a mistake, but she was delivered and set free from that sin of adultery. Amen. That yoke of bondage, that that hold that that sin had on her was broken, and she was set free.
And that's what he done for me, man. You know, I had a knee surgery shortly after this, and everybody was betting against me at work. Burl drink. He'll drink. You don't spit at a miracle like that, buddy.
Right.
You don't. Amen. You don't. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking out of my head, but you don't. That's just something I can't believe to this day. You know that a demon that big in my life, and I know y'all can't understand the demon in my life of alcohol the way it was, but it was running me, and it would have killed me.
Yeah.
But the Lord took it, and He threw it to the depths of hell. And I don't even know what it is. You know, and that sounds silly, but it's true.
Yeah.
And I apologize for not being a good speaker. I'm not. I'm just speaking from the heart, man.
Doing pretty good as far as I'm concerned.
That's all that counts, speaking from your heart. Yeah. You look like you're walking pretty good. I remember when you had the knee surgery.
Yeah, you look a little bit.
Yeah, you look like walking pretty good, though.
I'm happy with it. I can keep up a mania at work. So that's good.
I know it, man. He's a machine.
He's wide open.
Well, Snake, we're going to ask you to stick around for just a little bit longer. Cody, you got any final words for us here?
Hey, I just thank God for what He does to people's lives.
Amen.
Well, we're going to tag you out and I need you to go find somebody. Paul, you got somebody that he needs to go grab? Grab Darby. Darby, you've been working with Darby, haven't you?
Little guy.
Yeah, just little fella. Yeah. Just go grab Darby and have him come over here. Darby's one of our regulars at for Truth Revival.
Right.
Man, if there was ever a trophy of grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
To hear Darby's testimony. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Have you got to hear Darby's?
Oh, me and him spent time in some of the same establishments.
No kidding.
Some of the same jails. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. Yeah, I've talked to him, and God's done amazing things in his life, you know.
And so here's what I want to encourage people. When we read Scripture, you know, the Bible talks about this in Romans. It said that it happened as examples unto them for our admonition, for our encouragement. Or in other words, if God can do it for them, He can do it for me.
Amen.
He can do it for you.
Amen.
If God can set them free, He can set you free. If God can forgive me, He can forgive you. If He can restore me, He can restore you. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy where the devil says, you've gone too far. You've done too much. Because when Jesus died on the cross, the last words He said was, it is finished. The price has been paid. The debt has been paid. And 3 days later, hallelujah, He was resurrected from the grave to prove that death had no power over the Son of God.
Amen.
Darby, welcome to the live broadcast, my man.
I believe this is my second live broadcast.
You're always where we're doing live, though, so God, man.
Hey, I got to be there. Hey, you know what I mean? If Truth Revival's there, I've got to be there. You know what I mean?
Hey, here's what I like to say. If God's on the move, that's where I want to be.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Right?
If God is working, and hey, for all our listeners out there, look for opportunities to get involved in the ministry.
Amen.
You go to, how can I help?
Yeah.
How can I be involved?
Yeah.
So, Darby, Snake here, he said that you guys used to know each other back in the day.
Not know each other. We've been in some of the same jails.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've been in some of the same places. Same homes, I guess you would say. You
hey,
know?
Man.
Temporary dwellings.
Praise God. Yeah. You know, but the great thing about tonight is y'all, instead of dealing with the bad stuff, y'all are dealing out the Word of God tonight, you and Snake are.
Hey, you know, it's called restoration, right?
Restoration. Agents of change, baby.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, you know, the thing about it, too, is whenever you're out here, you know, I like what you said, Roman, about being involved. I think a lot of us sit back and say, well, I don't know what to do for Jesus. Get involved in something, and then God will prick your heart and tell you where you need to be.
I promise you.
You know?
Yeah.
Isaiah,
you're not going to find out by sitting on the couch. You know what I mean? Yeah.
The Lord told Isaiah, He said, whom will I send, and who will go?
Yeah.
He's still calling today. And what did Isaiah say?
Here I am.
Here I am, Lord.
Send me.
Send me.
Well, you know the thing, too, Roman, is a lot of times people say, well, I don't know about doing that. I don't know about talking to people. I don't know about giving out Bibles. I don't know about going here. I don't know about going in there. I don't know how to talk to people. Go.
Yeah,
God
just go.
God will use you. He needs the willing to go. He don't need the qualified. He'll qualify you. You
Amen.
Know what I mean?
That's it.
That's the thing is we don't need to be qualified to do God's work. He'll qualify us, you know?
Gosh, man. Hey, listen, when we choose Him, and we make Him the Lord of our lives. So listen to this, Romans 12:2, everybody knows it. Do not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that transformation, that renewing of your mind comes by his voice, by his spirit, by his word. And he just takes and molds you into his image. And I'll say it again. He gives us the power to become the sons of God. I can't get that scripture off my mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life. He'll tell you what he wants you to do. He'll show you, like you said, he'll show you his good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. And when you get to that place of good and pleasing and perfect will, whew, it's going to flow, baby. It's going to flow. Hallelujah.
Snake, you got any closing thoughts, anything you want to say before we tag somebody else in?
I'll say what me and Darby's about speaking about earlier. A little bit of love to a sinner goes a long ways. You know, Amen. Me and him have both been in places where they try to abuse you and talk to you like a dog, but show love, man. Do what Jesus done, you know. That's my parting words, because Jesus showed me compassion and love that day that he took this alcohol out of my life. He showed me compassion and love the day he saved my soul. I don't deserve heaven. I didn't deserve for Jesus to come down on the cross for me, you know. And all the mistakes I made, he still reached down and took that alcohol and threw it.
Hallelujah.
You know, threw it from west to south, east to west, whatever. But I'm going to tag out, brother, and God bless y'all.
Hey, thank you, Snake. Appreciate
thank you, brother.
Brother
Snake. We appreciate you, sir.
God bless you, man.
Thank you, Snake.
God bless you. God bless you, daughter.
Greater love hath none than this.
Amen.
Than a man who lay down his life for his friends.
What's the greatest commandment, Paul?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor yourself. Those are the greatest two, baby. Let's go.
I love it. You know what I mean? I like how he says they're equally is what, you know, loving thy neighbor as thyself. You know what? I think, too, that we got to get to a place where we're loving ourselves, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's a thing, too, that's sometimes, I know it was for me. Me and my mom was sitting around the kitchen table this morning, and we was having breakfast or whatever, and we never was talking. I said, you know, the hardest part about living sober for me whenever I first got out of jail and I was, you know, being sober for the first time in 16 years was feeling like I deserved to be happy.
Exactly, yeah.
Feeling like I deserved to be happy, you know, and it was almost like a self-sabotage there for a little bit that you get happy and you're just like, I don't know if I deserve this.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's Satan in your ear trying to talk you out of a blessing, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that he's took a part of my life and just changed me to where I want to love people.
Yeah,
you know, there's no place I'd rather be than here tonight.
Yeah.
SEC championships playing, don't even know what the score is, don't care.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I forgot it was even on until you mentioned it. You know, the thing about it is he gives us that power and that authority. He gives us that power and the authority. But too many times in our minds, we think, hey, you know, I'm not good enough. I sin too bad. Even though he's forgiven me, we know we're not worthy. He makes us worthy. His blood made us worthy. In the natural, we're not worthy at all. Look at who we got here. Hey, introduce yourself to us. Let's go.
I'm pastor at Mount Isabel Baptist Church. Josh Butler.
Josh Butler's with us.
Yeah.
Straight off a rafter. Well, Brother Josh, what's your church doing here tonight?
We've been doing the cooking on hot dogs and doing helping out in any way that we can.
Yeah.
Just enjoy being part of it.
I'm glad the rain quit. It's been good. It's been good.
Yeah.
So how long you been up at Mount Isabella?
I've been at Mount Isabella for 18 years.
Are you kidding me?
No, I've been up there for 18 years.
How many years did he say?
18 years.
Listen, I'm a firm believer. If the Lord calls you somewhere, stay. I love it. I don't like hopping around. I love it.
I mean, and that was one thing with me that the devil fought with me about whenever I first started preaching. You know, I guess I'm going to be sharing my testimony right here to that extent. I ended up having to take, you know, I took time off from my work, and I worked at Johnson Controls at that time. And, I mean, here I am, you know, a married man. And just like life, it just like floorboarded me. But, I mean, it was God's conviction on my life of me needing to get myself straight. I mean, I'd always said in my head and in my mind, you know, I mean, I was always brought up in church. My dad was a deacon. It's like, you know, this is inevitable. I'm going to be in church, but right now I just want to do my thing. I want to party. I want to be me. I want to do me, and that's what I want to do. And so the Lord, he allowed all that stuff to happen, you know. And in my life, I was just like, well, I'll get things straight whenever I'm about 35. That was my plan. My plan was when I'm 35, I'm going to straighten my life up and I'll give it all to God and I'll live for him and I'll do church. And I remember sitting in church when I was younger and watching my dad and thinking, you know, if I could get into it like he gets into it, and I tell this to the church all the time, if I could get into it like he gets into it, you know, and we sit and we watch preachers and we watch other people in church and we see them get happy, we see them get excited, and we're like, man, what am I missing? What is not? But so many times it's like our life is not focused where it needs to be focused at. And so whenever it got to me in life and God went to convict my heart, I was like, I got to go to the altar. And so I took off from work and I told him, hey, I can't be around people. I mean, it was a fact. I was having so much anxiety that it was like, I didn't want to see nobody. I don't want to talk to nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, the only person that I could truly even just sit and talk to was my mom, my dad, or my wife. But they couldn't help me. I mean, they could sit there and, you know, and tell me how much they love me and this, that, and other, and tell me, you know, well, just take it to God. And so when and I was like, so my wife, she can even vouch for this. I was waking up in the morning and going to church like it was a job, going to the altar. And I would stay at church all day. I mean, I'd get on altar, I'd pray, I'd read the Bible. Get on altar, I'd pray, I'd read the Bible. And nothing was like, I couldn't get nothing. I couldn't get a hold of him. I couldn't feel his presence. I called preachers. I was like, I need you to come pray with me, you know. And every preacher's always just like, if you need anything, just call me. And I called, and they came. You know, they was there. They got down. They prayed with me. But it was still nothing. And so it got to a point in my life to where I got allergies. And so I was going to the doctor that day, and I told my wife, I was like, hey, we're going to go to the doctor, you know, and I'll get these pills for my allergies. And so we was on our way to the doctor's office, and I was on my way over to Madisonville, and as I was on my way over, it was the devil. I know it was the devil. So the devil, he's just like, hey, man, when you get over here, you can get this fixed. This issue you've got going on, they've got medicine they can put you on. That can help you cope with people. That can help you focus in society. And so whenever I went in to work, or went into the doctor's office, and they give me my medicine for everything, I go in there, and I sit down, and I'm like, you know, hey, this is what's going on in my life. This is what's happening. And I need, you know, and so they give me my medicine for my allergies. And then I was like, hey, you know, I need something for my mind. And they was like, you need something for your mind. What do you mean? And it was Jennifer McKenzie. Yeah. I mean, I ain't ashamed to say who it was, because yeah. I love her with all my heart, because she, and I mean, in all honesty, she was a true blessing that very day, because I truly believe God had her in this walk of life, if not be just for that very day on my behalf to say no. Josh, I'm not writing you no prescription for any medication to give you so that it can numb your mind and you can go out and function in society. She said, here's the thing. She said, I want to ask you a question. And she said, and I want you to be honest with me. And she said, have you thought about suicide? And I broke down. And my wife broke down, because I truly had. I mean, there was times the devil said, just pull out in front of this truck and he'll be over with. He'll do away with it right here. It'll all be gone and you don't have to face none of this. And I'm just like, no. And all I could see, and I told her, I said, yeah, I have. And my wife broke and I broke. And I said, but I see my mom and I see my granny and I see my wife. And it's just like every time that takes place and that happens. And she said, well, we got a doctor that you can talk to. And if he feels like you need this medication, he'll write you a prescription for this medication. And I was like, no, I'm fine. And she's like, you know, I know in her mind and in her heart at that moment in time, she's like, no, Josh, you're not fine. If you're having these thoughts, you're having these things, you need to talk to somebody. And in my heart, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to talk to the one that can fix me, but he won't talk back.
Yeah.
And so that very day, though, we got up out of the doctor's office, and she's like, I can make you an appointment. I said, no, don't worry about it. I said, I may call you back. And she's like, nah, I'll let you go. And so I get up and I start out, and we're walking out of the doctor's office, and all of a sudden, as we got closer to the front, I could feel his hand come up on my shoulder. And I hear his voice say, I'm the only one you need to talk to. And that was the biggest smile came on my face, because I knew that moment, that very day, that I was fixing to talk face to face to the one that could fix any problem that I've got going on. And when we got home, my wife, she looked at me, and I told her, I said, I got to go up on the mountain. And I rode up on the Skyway, and when she looked at me, and she said, you want me to go with you? And I said, no, I've got to go by myself. And she just kind of looked at me, and I looked at her, and I said, I'll be back. And I went up on that mountain, and when I got above that overlook, above Indian Boundary, man, I pulled that car in there, and I got out of that car, and I crossed that rock wall, and I landed on my knees on the other side. And son, I cried out to him, and he came down. Son, I had a meeting with Jesus that very day. And when I got up, there's a whole crowd of people standing around and pulled in. I didn't even know they was there. And I got up, son, tears rolled down my face, and I looked at them and smiled. And I said, "Jim's having all right." I said, "Jim's doing all right today?" And they said, "Yeah, are you?" And I said, "I'm doing a lot better
Much
now.
Better.
And so when I came off that mountain, I tell people this, and I told that lady this week, I said, "I've not been the same man since."
Amen.
You know, I mean, God truly, he fixed the problem that I had. And I tell people this all the time, and some people may have already heard this, but I believe this with an all of my heart. When you look at a shepherd, and you take a shepherd, and the Bible talks about the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he uses us, and he talks, and he betrays us, or he puts us in the Bible as being his sheep. And he is our shepherd. When a sheep runs off from a flock, that shepherd, he'll go, because Bible said, it said, if one leaves, will he not leave the 99 and go and find that one and hunt diligently until he findeth him? And he will. And so when he came and he finds that sheep, he'll bring that sheep back to the flock, and he'll put it back in the flock, and it'll be there. And if that sheep ends up running off again, he'll go, and I believe that he'll bring it back. He'll bring it back till eventually he gets to a point to where when he sees that sheep is a problem sheep, to where this sucker ain't gonna stay, he just keeps running off. Whenever he finds him, he'll break that sheep's leg, and he'll hold on to that sheep, and he'll carry that sheep. And I believe with an eye of my heart, you know, when we look and we see that picture of Jesus with the staff and with the lamb in his arms, you know, I look at that and I look at my life and I think, you know what, Lord? When I was trying to get a hold of him, he had already found me.
He was carrying
you. Broke your leg.
He broke my leg.
Broke your leg.
He broke my leg. And he was holding on to me, and he let me know, "I've got you."
Yeah.
Amen. I just want you to realize and know how far away that you had got.
Yeah.
And I want you to realize and know that it's not just as simple and just as easy in our minds as so many times as saying, you know, I mean, it is. Admit that we're lost. Believe in Jesus Christ. Confess it with our mouth. That's truly salvation.
Yeah.
It is that easy. But the Bible said that we have to be drawn by the Spirit.
Yeah.
I had conviction. I knew what I needed to do. But God wasn't ready. His drawing wasn't there to where he was meeting me.
Yeah.
But he was letting me know, listen, you've got this far from me, and I'm right here. And all you got to do, it's come to me.
Yeah.
Josh, I want to read this verse of scripture right here. It's in Hebrews 11, verse number 6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is."
Glory.
"And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And brother, I've never heard your testimony before.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that
That's
with
awesome,
us.
Man.
And you diligently sought the Lord during your time of need.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there might be somebody out there that's listening, and they may be going through something that's everything. Don't give up hope.
No, never
Don't
give up hope.
Don't
because he says in Jeremiah, he said that you shall seek for me, and you shall find me when you search for me with all of your heart.
With your whole heart.
And that's what it takes. It takes our whole heart because it's got to get to that point in our life to where it's like we take ourselves and we get ourselves out of the way. And we say, it's not about me, it's about him. And because in my life, you know what? It didn't matter what anybody thought about me. And I'm going to go ahead and say this too. To anybody I'm going to say it this way. If you got a part of you, that spiritual side in your life, to where you're just like you're afraid just to turn loose, Don't be afraid to turn loose. Just turn loose.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is when God says, I want you to raise your hands, you raise your hands. If he wants you to clap, you clap. If he wants you to shout, you shout. If he wants you to say amen, you say amen.
Yeah.
If he wants you to speak, speak.
Speak. I mean, because so many times in our life, you know, we look and we're afraid because we're just like, well, I'm afraid I'll mess up. Well, you know what? I'd rather mess up for the Lord any day as mess up for the devil.
Amen.
You know one thing that I want to point out, though, is when we pray and we can't get an answer from God sometimes, or we feel like he's not hearing us, we feel like he ain't answering our prayers. He, you know, he just, we can't get in touch with him. A lot of times I think we need to examine our own lives and see, are you living for him?
Yeah. Right.
Because, you know, in Psalms 37, verses 3 and 4, you know, the last part of 4, it says that God will give you the desires of, you know, your heart.
Yeah.
Well, I like that part of the verse, Roman. I'll pick that out and I'll put it in my pocket. I'll carry it around with me and I'll say, God will give me what I want. But then I forget to look at the rest of the verses there that says, trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
And do good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, the psalmist also said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear you.
No.
It's true.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. Living that double life is what we do a lot of times, Roman. We want God to answer our prayers, and we want God to help us. But I also want to go over here and sleep with this woman, or I also want to, you know, get this done over here, or I want to go to this bar, or I want to go to this party, I want to have a drink at the ball game, but I want to serve in church on Sunday, but then I don't know why he's not answering my prayers.
Yeah.
Right.
Some people say it's not that we want forgiveness, it's we want permission.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a lot better to ask for forgiveness than permission that they think, you know, people say. But I think that the thing is whenever you get in love with God, you'll want to serve him.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
That's the thing is are you serving God for blessings? Or are you serving God because you love him?
Yes.
Right.
You know, I think that's a big difference, because a lot of times I think we serve God for blessings. We serve God to get things from him. I want to serve God because I love him.
Right.
I want to serve him because he first loved us.
Oh, man. I didn't call for him. He called for me. Amen. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Whenever I wasn't worthy, you know, I'm still not worthy, but he called for me.
Amen.
Chosen.
You know? Yeah. And that's what, you know, and I'm so thankful. Like when you look at even the scripture there, I seen something here a while back. You know, we talk about football games, and I can get into a football game just as easy as anybody. I can get into basketball, any kind of sports. I mean, I enjoy watching it. But I can get into it, and I mean, you know, you get so ramped up,
yeah.
And it's just like, you know, and you're out here and you're seeing these people, and you look at these stands every single weekend, and people's holding up signs, and it's our team and my team or whatever, you know, and the thing of it is at the end of the day, there's probably not a player on that field that even knows who you are, but yet you've been chosen. You can be chosen for a team. You know, when we was in school, we would play basketball, and we would find two captains of a team, and we would say, hey, you know, you're the captain, so we're going to pick our team.
Yeah.
And so they would go along, and they go to picking teams, and you pick this and pick and pick and pick. We were chosen, and just as the scripture said, it says we were chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And it's so amazing of what, you know, when we look at our life, and we're like, God picked me.
Yeah.
And I was so unworthy. I'm not fit. I mean, there's so many other people that's out there that's so much better than what I am. But, you know, it don't change the fact.
But don't you think that that's where his power will be shown, right, is through your weakness?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think that a lot of times we think we got to be qualified to serve God. He'll qualify you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he wants to use your weakness. But why do you think that he used David to defeat the Goliath? Why didn't he create him another giant over,
right,
here? Well, why? But that way he'll show power through,
yeah,
you know, David. Because David said, my Lord will deliver you,
right,
to us. He didn't say, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
He said, the Lord will deliver you to us. Now, ain't that amazing, you know, a 5'5" guy defeat a guy that's 9'10", weighs 600 pounds or something,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Carrying around a 4x4 javelin, you know what I mean? And this little 5'5" kid defeats him. That right there showed the power of God.
Right.
If he'd used another giant or whatever that was qualified to fight Goliath,
right,
where's the power of God in that?
Darby, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise,
yeah,
so that no flesh could glory in his presence, so that he who glories, let him glory
in
the
Lord.
We're going to have to tag you out, Darby.
Absolutely.
Because we've got Miss Paula Grant here. She has the recipe
for
the
best
hot chocolate in the world. I'm on cup number 2. I'm needing a refill for number 3.
I'm gonna go tag out and give me another one, Robbie.
Thank you, Darby.
I'm going to go get one. You want one?
Sure, I'll take another one right here.
No, I'm good, bro.
Hey, we're going to need to bring Abernathy over here. I talked to him, and I got a couple other guys on standby.
Okay.
So go ahead, Paula.
I'll go get you.
Paula, welcome to Truth Revival.
Thank you.
Good to have you. So tell us, how many years have you and Mike been serving hot chocolate and been down here?
It's probably been about 6 years that we have been doing the hot chocolate. We've been doing the nativity, I think, 9 years, but we've been doing the hot chocolate about six, I guess.
Well, I look forward to that every single year. It's been such a blessing to me. There's something else that happened this year that was pretty huge in your and Mike's life, where Mike was ordained as a deacon.
Yes.
Talk to us about that process and the joy and the honor of being able to serve New Providence.
Well, it's really kind of an interesting thing because God spoke to me about it, I think, before he ever spoke to Mike about it. But one day, just kind of out of nowhere, God spoke to me and said, you know, I'm calling Mike, you know, to this, to be a deacon. And so I thought, well, you better be sure, Paula, that you are behaving in a way that would help him in this calling and not hurt him. Because I certainly wouldn't want to live my life in a way to where people would say, well, Mike, he's a good guy. I want to call him as a deacon.
But Paula.
But oh, his wife. And so I've tried to live my life in a way, you know, that God would find helpful to Mike and that God would be pleased with.
Man, that is incredible. You know Josh, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know Paula.
You guys, did y'all grow up together?
I met Paula. That was back in our early days of being out and hanging out in town. And I met Paula, her mom worked at Teleco Pride.
Yeah.
And I knew her mom, and her mom made the best food over there ever, and I would always go over and get the food, and then she would come down in town and she would hang out down in town, and that's how I ended up meeting her, was just across from the Pride, because I think, didn't you go to Madisonville's where you went to school at?
Yeah,
so she didn't go to Teleco, so she went to Squalia. Yeah. And then her and Mike got together, and so, man, it was like, I mean, but they got together whenever we were all running around the town, and Mike was like, you know, he got a hold of her and he never let her go. And it was a good thing because, you know, Mike, he's got a good wife. Paula, she's truly a blessing. Mike is also.
Thank you.
Well, man, that is awesome. Well, Josh, thank you so much for coming on the show, and shout out to Mount Isabella.
Yeah,
we're so thankful
here
to partner with you guys and work with you all. We're going to tag you out and let Brother Micah Collins come in.
All right.
Micah, hey, Micah, come on in here. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Josh.
Love you.